I always count on the beginning of the worship service and the Sunday school to kind of collect my last minute thoughts and think about how everything relates to the message. And this morning my mind was kind of drawn away to the heat situation, and so I feel a bit scattered, but I trust that all of us can maybe put that to the back of our mind and allow the Spirit to speak through the Word again this morning. I was really glad that Brother Ed chose to read the Christmas story that he did, the birth of Christ there in Matthew. As I pondered and meditated on what to preach, I'd like to take our message from Luke chapter 2. But I jumped over the birth of Christ and went to an account that's recorded in Luke chapter 2 that happened several weeks later, when baby Jesus was 40 days old, as I understand the scripture. We'll read this account from Luke 2, starting at verse 21. Luke 2:21, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." I'll just mention the outline of our message is contained in these next verses. We actually read, I should have stopped one verse before. And what we want to look at is the references to Jesus in these verses and what he is called and the descriptions that are given to Jesus. Verse 26, "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth." Before we go into the outline that I mentioned of the references to Jesus in these verses, I'd like to just point out a few things about the setting here. Reading in verse 21, I said we're going to look at an account of when Jesus was 40 days old. And that's true. But if I'll admit that too often I've read this kind of casually, and I missed the point here that verse 21 and verse 22 are two separate accounts in Jesus' life. Verse 21 is when Jesus was named at 8 days old. And this is when his parents announced the name that the angel had told them to name the baby. His name was Jesus. We read those verses last Sunday. Brother Ron read them in the message, in looking at the angels and their part of Jesus' birth and their announcement. And if we turn back to chapter 1 here in verse 30, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." I looked it up, but I didn't write it down. I think there were 7 men in the Bible that angels announced their names, or that the Lord announced their names to their parents ahead of time: Isaac and Ishmael, Solomon, John the Baptist, Jesus, and then there was 2 in the Old Testament that I can't remember, Old Testament kings, I believe, in Israel and Judah. But Jesus was one of the babies whom the Lord announced his name, or told his parents what to name him. I thought Samson was one of them, and I turned and looked, and I guess I was wrong. But Jesus definitely, and John the Baptist, is very special that the angel announced his name, or told his name to the parents, and they announced it when he was 8 days old, like their custom was. And then verse 22 is a second account. As I understand, 33 days later, at 40 days of age. And I read in Leviticus 12 where this was outlined, the law and how this was to be done. And so here, like Leviticus 12 commanded, they took the baby to the door of the temple. And I couldn't really find for sure, but it seems unlikely that Joseph and Mary traveled back to Nazareth and then came back to Jerusalem, or did they stay in Bethlehem and go straight to the temple? We don't know those 40 days where they were, but we do know that they did according to the custom of the law, and they brought baby Jesus to the temple. And Leviticus 12 verse 8 tells us, or I'm sorry, verse 6, "And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priest, who shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her." Did you notice something in that verse that was missing in Luke chapter 2? Leviticus 12 says very clearly that the mother of the baby boy should bring a lamb, and either a turtle dove or a pigeon. But there's no lamb mentioned here in verse 24. It only mentions a pair of turtle doves or a pair of pigeons. And I believe the explanation for that is in the next verse in Leviticus 12. It says, "And if she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring 2 turtles or 2 young pigeons, the one for the burnt offering and the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean." God made provision for those who aren't able to bring a lamb. And according to Scripture, we see that no lamb was recorded here, and we say Jesus was born to poor parents, to parents who were not able to bring a lamb. And so they brought, it doesn't really tell us, either turtle doves or pigeons in verse 24. It was when they came to the temple that we're introduced, and we only have these 10 or 12 verses, not even that many, about a really challenging character in the Scriptures, this man Simeon. The Bible doesn't tell us much about it. I did some reading, and some Bible scholars believe a number of different things, but one possibility that's pretty widely accepted by those who've gone back and studied Jewish history and what the writings of the historians were. At this time, there was a man who was very, very high in their religious order. I didn't write his name down, but history has it that he even started and was head of a Bible college or some for college of studying the law. And this man had a son named Simeon, who seemed to maybe take his father's place and maybe even excel. And right at this time, there was a man named Simeon, and this man was also the head of the Sanhedrin. And as we go through the Gospels, we recognize that group of people is a very powerful part of their religion, their church life. And the report is that if it's a Simeon, he would have been rather young at this time. But I guess the Bible doesn't tell us that this man was old. It says that he was ready to go. The Lord, he asked the Lord that he can go in peace now. But this Simeon that historians wrote about was removed from the Sanhedrin and cast out because he chose to believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And he rejected the Sanhedrin's opinion and theory that there's going to be an earthly kingdom. We don't know. All those things match very good with what the Bible does tell us about this man Simeon, that he was devout and that he believed. We know for a fact that he believed on Jesus. And he had a really good understanding of Old Testament prophecy. We'll see that as we go down through and look at what he said. He understood and he knew Old Testament prophecy. But it's inspiring that here we have recorded, right, in this account of baby Jesus being brought to the temple, this old covenant saint who was in tune with God and who believed God's promise of the Redeemer. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Somehow, the Bible doesn't tell us, somehow God's Spirit revealed to Simeon that he should go to the temple that day. And it's logical to believe that Joseph and Mary weren't the only people in the temple that day, and probably not the only baby there for this atonement. But somehow Simeon found the right baby, and he knew for a fact that this is the Messiah. He was waiting, he knew, and he believed. God left no question in his mind. I didn't give the title of the message, but I'd like to now. This is kind of the setting. And I chose a title from a very familiar song. It's in our books, number 197. Blessed be the name. And if in that song that's repeated several times in the chorus. And so we think of the name of Jesus. We talked about it already, the importance and the fact that the angels told Mary what his name shall be. We could look through the scriptures. There's dozens. There's one list I saw that said there was 150 names from the scripture given to Jesus. I thought I'd heard maybe higher than that before, but we know there are many, many names given to Jesus. And often when I think of that, my mind goes to that one verse or those two verses that we read in Sunday school devotions from Isaiah. He's wonderful, the counselor, and a whole list of names given there. And that's what we'd like to look at here. I think there's six of them here that they aren't all names, but they're references to Jesus in verses between verses 25 to 32. The first one is in verse 25. It says that Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And we're told that this was a very common term that Jews used and still use, those who don't believe that Jesus came. They talk about the consolation of Israel, about the coming of the Messiah. And this is what Simeon was waiting on. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And in the Greek, if we were Greek speaking, we would understand this word to mean to come alongside, to go with the consolation of Israel. And it's the same. This same Greek word is translated quite a few times in the New Testament as the word comfort. For example, in 2 Corinthians, we have two verses where it's used 5 or 6 times, this exact same Greek word and translated comfort. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." And so Simeon was waiting for the comfort of Israel, the consolation of Israel. The Holy Ghost revealed to him that here, this baby is the consolation that he was waiting for. I don't know what all access Simeon had to the Old Testament, but it seems he knew a good bit. It makes sense that he was very learned. But this consolation of Israel was prophesied so vividly, so often through the Old Testament, through the prophets. And here he is, the consolation of Israel. How would this Messiah, how would this baby, Jesus, be the consolation of Israel? Just what he did, he came and he came alongside and then he redeemed Israel. He offered redemption. That's what Simeon was waiting for. The second one we'd like to look at is in verse 26. "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." The Lord, God the Father, Jehovah. And we're told that the word Christ here would have, some believe that it would have been clearer if it had been translated the Anointed One. Jehovah, God, Jehovah's Anointed One. That's what Simeon saw here. That's what was revealed to him, that he will see the Lord's Christ. But if we look back up to verse 11 here in chapter 2, "The angel came and told the shepherds, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Not only was this baby the Lord's Christ, he is Christ the Lord. And I don't know that I can wrap my mind around all that's involved in those words and putting them both ways. But he is the Lord's Christ, and he is Christ the Lord. He is the Anointed One. There were many anointings in the Old Testament that was a type of the Anointed One coming. And I believe they were taught that, and that one day there's going to be the Anointed One, the Christ Messiah. But now there was no more need for Simeon and many others to wait for the Anointed One, the one they were waiting for. And the invitation is open to each of us now too, to all freely see and accept the Lord's Anointed One through faith, just like Simeon. Simeon only could believe this through faith. Many chose not to. But the Lord's Christ, the Lord's Anointed One, is for each of us to see and accept through faith. Verse 27. "And when the parents brought in the child Jesus, I picture many in the temple that day that didn't notice anything different. It was the child Jesus. It was another baby coming in. They were following their custom. Poor, unknown parents. And little could anyone there have guessed, other than by the revelation of the Holy Ghost, that here in their midst was a baby. And embodied in this child, Jesus, was divinity. The baby in Simeon's arms. He was a divine, but he was also so human. So human and so God. And we can't fully fathom that, but we believe it by the authority of the scriptures. And here his parents brought the divine child to the temple, just following their customs, like everyone else did. And the fact that Simeon was here by the Spirit, and I thought of that verse where it says that Jesus later was led of the Spirit into the desert for the temptation. And Simeon was led to the temple that day to meet the child Jesus. Verse 30 is the fourth one. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Simeon said, now let me depart in peace. I've seen thy salvation. Matthew 1, I believe we read this morning. It says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Salvation. Salvation from sin. Simeon was addressing God and he was saying, thy salvation. The salvation, the Messiah, the promised, prophesied, and now provided salvation from God. For the Old Testament saints, it was something they needed to look forward to. Their sacrifices, their anointings, so much of their life was symbolic, looking ahead to Jesus Christ, the anointed one that was coming. I'd like to turn and read some verses in Isaiah. We're going to turn to a few different ones. If you want to turn to chapter 52, Isaiah 52. I was really impressed again in my study and how much Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, has and tells us about Jesus. And then as we read this morning, I don't know if any of yours have this in your Bible, but we were there at Matthew chapter 1 and Ed was reading and my eyes went over to the other page and you see the Old Testament and the New Testament and it has this link between them and it says Christ. And there's Christ is all through the Old Testament and for sure in the New Testament. But let's read Isaiah chapter 52, verse 9. As we think of thy salvation, break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. No more types and looking ahead, but here it is. The prophecy has been fulfilled. The salvation that God has promised is provided. And Simeon says, and Simeon recognized that, and he said, now I've seen thy salvation. And he went on and he said, and now I've seen thy salvation that's prepared before the face of all people. And that word prepared gives the picture, and the Greek word that was used gives a picture of a spread feast. And it's prepared in the face of all people. And that takes us to what he said in verse 32. He said, it's a light to lighten the Gentiles. And this is so precious to each of us here. As far as I know, there's no one here that can claim a blood link to the Jews. We're here as Gentiles. We're here as heathens. But through Jesus, it was prophesied so many times. We're going to look at a number of verses in Isaiah that show us the prophecy that this light, this Messiah, when it came, would lighten the Gentiles. Let's start in Isaiah chapter 9. I was not aware that I remembered that so clearly the prophecies of the Gentiles being brought in. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. And if in my Bible at the beginning of chapter 9, it says a little heading that this is, what joy shall be in the midst of afflictions by the birth and kingdom of Christ. This is talking about Christ's kingdom lighting those who were in darkness. They're going to see a great light. Chapter 42 in Isaiah. Chapter 42, verse 6 and 7. And here again at the top of this, at the top of this chapter, the heading of my Bible says, God's promise of Christ. And verse 6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Do we see the light? Chapter 9 said we're going to see a great light. And here, the deliverance, the redemption, the salvation from the prison house, from darkness, from blindness, all of this is Jesus Christ. And this was written in prophecy. I believe that these words were those exact ones that Simeon knew and was referencing in Luke 2:32 when he said, a light to lighten the Gentiles. I believe he had studied and knew the prophecies of Isaiah, and he understood that here we are. We're seeing it. We're seeing it before our eyes. Chapter 49. Chapter 49 and verse 6. The first five verses here talks about Jesus Christ being sent to the Jews. And then in verse 5 it switches and he is sent to the Gentiles. And verse 6 says, and he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. The Jews. There's Jesus to the Jews. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Salvation to the Gentiles. That includes us. And then in chapter 60. Chapter 60 and verses, the first three verses. And this heading on the top of my Bible says the glory of the church in the abundant access of the Gentiles. The glory of the church in the abundant access of the Gentiles. Verse 1, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. I wonder if Simeon could, even though he knew all these words, if he could understand the total involvement of all that we take so for granted now, of how open this was going to be. For generations, it was the Jews, God's special people, God's nation, and that's what Simeon was a part of. But now, open access to all people. This bright light shining to everyone, and they'll come, and they'll see this brightness. And it's not a prophecy anymore. This is happening in real time. Simeon saw that happening. There's so much more in the story of Jesus coming than just a baby born in a manger. This is doing what Ephesians says, Because we're all like the Ephesians. We were aliens and we were strangers. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I don't know if Simeon could envision the full glory of the church and what all was going to be possible through Christ Jesus, but he believed it. And I challenge us, do we take it for granted? Let's stop and consider what Jesus has done for us as Gentiles. If we're back in Luke, Simeon also said in verse 32 that he'll be a light to lighten the Gentiles, but he also calls him the glory of thy people Israel. And like I mentioned before, God had chosen Israel. He had called them out for the very reason of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, coming through the lineage of the Jews. And he would come to earth through that. And what a tragedy that the majority of this chosen people rejected the Messiah when he came. And they didn't believe, and they still don't. The very family that God used to bring Jesus to this earth, they're still looking for him. They missed his coming. The only glory of the nation Israel, the Jews and God's chosen people, is Jesus. In the Old Testament, it was the glory of them looking forward and all the types and God preparing and bringing Jesus through them. And in the New Testament, it's still the same, but it's the glory of Jesus back through to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. And I don't profess to understand very much at all of the scriptures and the prophecy relating to God's people, Israel, in the future. But I believe that from the scriptures that there's a time foretold when God's people, Israel, will, in a lot bigger way than they are now, accept Jesus Christ. And they'll recognize him as the glory of thy people Israel, just like Simeon did. And I'm not going to go into that, but there's things for us here. As I studied this, I had this idea that for a Christmas type of message, maybe I'll just present these names of Jesus, these references to Jesus, and leave it as trying to express the glory and the fullness of Jesus and the salvation and the access that we Gentiles have, and not really make an attempt to make it real practical to us today. And that can work, but yet it doesn't, because none of us can look at Jesus Christ and look at his glory and look at all that he's done for us without it becoming very practical and touching our lives in everyday life. And I'm just challenged by Simeon and this account here, and it's so much more than a historic account with some interesting details. It's the account of God fulfilling his promises and his prophecy. And we see that so clear. It's the manifestation of the great love of Father and Son for the human race, Jew and Gentile alike. And I like this verse in Luke 2, this picture that's in verse 28. It says, then Simeon, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. And we have that opportunity today. We have Jesus Christ, not only a baby in the temple, but Jesus Christ, our Savior. He's provided for our redemption. That work is all done. We have Jesus Christ, who's the King of heaven and earth, and he's coming back in judgment, and he's coming back to receive his own. And we have this opportunity today, us Gentiles, every one of us here, to receive him in our arms and bless God. I like that picture. We can receive all that was embodied in that little 10-pound baby that Simeon held, and we have the option, we have the opportunity, we have, by faith, we can accept him into our hearts. And as I thought of that song, Blessed Be the Name, my mind went to these verses in Philippians. It says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." You see, we can't look at the name of Jesus that's above every name without reckoning with the fact that every one of us, every person in the town of Romulus, every person in New York State, every person on the face of the earth is going to face this name, this Jesus Christ. And we will, everyone, we will bow the knee and confess with our tongue. All the Jews who have rejected him, the same, they have the choice, we have the choice. We can either bow our knee before him today, we can either confess Jesus Christ today and let it touch our lives and let it make a difference and let him be Lord of our lives, or there's coming a day when we will bow and we will confess. And so, this name, which is above every name, what a blessing that we can gather. I thought of it as I thought of the of us being Gentiles and we're gathered together. If we took Jesus out of our lives, what other connecting factor would bring this group of people together? And you can get way too far on that thought. But here we are. The reason we're here this morning is because Jesus Christ and the difference he has made in our lives, because we recognize that this name is above all names. And we endeavor to help each other and to together be ready to face him in the judgment. And together we bow our knees and together we confess his name and live for him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's kneel for prayer.